May I have your attention, please?
Welcome to the Life in Tech podcast with Jay and Saad, where every week they will be sharing their experiences, insights, and opinions about working in the technology industry.
Simply the best.
And we're back for another episode of the Life in Tech podcast with Jay and Saad. And today we've got a very special topic, one that, Saad, you actually feel very passionate about this topic, right?
Yeah, I do.
And today we're talking about learning how to learn.
Yeah.
Which might sound strange to you listen, but stay with us on this because it has very deep roots and I think you'll get a lot out of it. So Saad, like, how would you define learning how to learn?
So when I started learning about this topic some years back, I found it very insightful and it was very eye-opening, actually, because everything I was taught in school and in university, when we take the study skills classes and all of those traditional study methods that we're taught, were completely proven to be ineffective and not useful, but ineffective, meaning that there's more effective ways to learn anything or to learn a particular piece of material. So to define learning how to learn is understanding that there is a way or ways and methods that are more effective than others in order to pick something up or to learn something and to apply those methods in learning any subject or given topic, right? And it's strange because when you hear some of these methods, your first thought might be, that's a bit strange. But then when you apply it, you will experience something different. And we will get into some of these methods and learning techniques. But what I want to start off with is first understanding that you have to embrace a lifelong learner mentality, because if you don't, then you're not going to be someone who is passionate or frequent when it comes to learning stuff, right? Specifically in our industry, you have to be on the edge ready to learn, because you will just get left behind really quickly. And that's natural. You'll be left behind on a natural basis because the industry moves too quickly. And you need to be, specifically for engineers anyway, and of course, you know areas of your subject that this can apply to as well, but for engineers, front-end engineers, from what I've experienced, is that it moves so quick that front-end engineering now looks completely different to what a front-end engineer looked like 5 years ago, right? So the first thing before you even get into any of the learning methods or any of the techniques to apply is that you have to embrace this lifelong learner mentality. Always see yourself as a junior, no matter how senior you get. And why I say that is because juniors have this hunger mentality, this, you know, this go-getter mentality. Don't ever feel like you're at the pinnacle where I need to stop learning. You've already failed, right? So embracing the junior mentality, the lifelong learner mentality.
That's interesting that you said that though, because like if you go back to the episode that we did on like failure, and I mentioned, I gave a kind of scenario where I had to kind of learn skills to kind of get the job. So I had to like learn how to code and stuff. Like, I think that still kind of applies, right? It's like you said something about like juniors have that hunger. And I think when I was a junior, that was definitely true. Like having that hunger to figure things out and say, okay, like I'm missing stuff in this area. I'm going to kind of educate myself on that, and hopefully, you know, that will open up some doors. So I can definitely kind of see how that over the years has kind of shifted a little bit. The hunger isn't always, you know, as intense as it was when you were, you know, kind of young and like a go-getter and trying to like make your mark on the industry. As you kind of progress, it kind of like dies down a little bit, but it's important to kind of have that curiosity still
within you. Completely. And always respect the juniors that are on your team. Support them and respect them, and pull them in to your more intermediate senior topics and discussions, because they've got that space within them where they're just trying to fill up as much knowledge as they can. You know, don't overlook your juniors on your team at all. They've got a mentality that is very powerful. If you support them in that, they can take that to higher heights than you, actually, because if they're given the modern technology around them and the skill sets and the experience of the people around them, they can do some really powerful things. Always respect the juniors on your team. So coming back to the learning how to learn, we've got some specific techniques that we want to discuss on this episode. And I just want to go through some of the traditional methods that I was taught, and I'm sure you were taught, Jay, that have actually been proven to be ineffective to when learning new material. So for example, how I would approach something before I learn how to learn is, let's say I want to pick up a new piece of technology, so a new programming language. You know, I'll take a textbook, I'll get one of those massive 1,000 pages textbooks, and I'll just start going through certain concepts, highlighting here and putting a page note note here and rereading this and reapplying this and it didn't quite work, then going back to it, why isn't it working? And that repetition of back and forth of just rereading material. This is the first technique that has been proven to be ineffective, is rereading. So these are studies that have been done, and hopefully we can put these in the show notes because we're talking about evidence-based research here. So we need to pinpoint this evidence for the audience. But the first one is that rereading is ineffective. Now, you're probably thinking, but so I should only read something once? That's not what is meant here. It means that you continuously rereading something in order to memorize it is proven to be ineffective. There's a more effective way of memorizing something.
Which is?
So it's a combination of two things. And when they're paired together, so they can be used individually and they're very effective, but when they're paired together, it's a powerful team. The first one is called active recall, which is also known as retrieval. And the second one is called spaced repetition, right? Let's break these down. So active recall is when you're actively recalling something that you have put into your memory bank, your mind, right? So firstly, let's go through the cycle, the process. How would you get something into your mind in the first place? You'll come across the material, you'll read it, might read it a few times. This is not what is known as rereading. Rereading is when you're just religiously going over and over and over and over again to the point where you're just getting so tired with the material and frustrated with it. So you might read it a few times and then you might put it on a flashcard, right? There's many apps that do this nowadays. Anki is one of them because that has an algorithm in it that does spaced repetition, right? So then you apply these small techniques to get it into your brain initially, right? So you now know the material initially in that time and place, right? It can easily be forgotten, right? So what do you need to do in order to solidify it, to retrieve it, to keep it in that bank of your brain to later retrieve it? There's a few things that you can do here. The first one is that you can do something called association and analogy building. So you can build like a ridiculous analogy around something you're trying to learn. For example, you're trying to learn how to write a function in JavaScript, right? Now you can build an analogy around that that's completely unrelated, right? So for example, you start with the function keyword. This is if you're writing the traditional one, not arrow functions. Curly braces, and you can say, okay, curly braces. If I just move the curly brace around like that, it kind of looks like a mustache a bit. So every time you say the word mustache, it reminds you of the curly brace in the function, the JavaScript function, right? So you can do that. That's known as, you know, building by association and analogy building. And that's one way to remember what you saw, right? Now, what about the meaning of it though? So, okay, this can help you with remembering what you saw visually, because as a visual learner, if you're a visual learner, this is important. Association building is very important. But what about knowing the definition of that specific thing? Well, this is where you can use something called active recall and building of flashcards and asking yourself questions. So you reword, you build a comprehension around that particular thing. So for example, you could say, instead of saying to write a function in JavaScript, you would start with the function keyword and then you're followed by, you know, so on and so forth. You could say, how do you write a function in JavaScript? You're questioning yourself, right? So you're rewording that example and then you question yourself and then you, this could be on like a flashcard, and then on the other side, you've got the definition, right? Why this is important? Because now you're practicing the active recall. What you do is you're retrieving the information as opposed to forcing it into your brain, right? So then say you've got a deck of flashcards, right? And you come across it again. How do you write a function in JavaScript? Yeah, I remember that it's got those curly braces, mustache. So I turn it around, even though mustache is not there, you know what the definition is. You've used analogies, you've used your association, and then you've given yourself a question, right? You're retrieving that information, and then that's a better way for you to learn the definition. And this has been proven. This has been proven to be an effective way of learning, to memorize something.
I think I'm clear on the active recall, but what is rereading? Because you're still doing rereading to begin with.
No, so rereading would be, for example, you have a textbook, right? And there's a passage that you don't want to memorize the actual passage word for word. You're trying to extract something from that passage, right? So for example, you might have a whole passage that will say, talk about the whole importance of a function in JavaScript. And then there's just a few moments in that passage that will teach you how to actually write it and what the definition is. Everything else is just concept building around it, right? Now, an ineffective way of learning that is you constantly rereading that passage over and over again. And this comes, why this is not effective? Because this is an illusion of learning. It's like, this is mentioned in the studies that it's called illusion of learning, where you think you're learning it. In actuality, you're not.
But do people do that? As in, do people read the same when they're trying to learn?
Of course. But
do they not write notes and then read their notes over and over again? Or are they referring direct to the text?
Well, it depends. It depends. Like, you could do rereading also in your notes. Like, for example, this happened to me in university. I would sit in a lecture. I'm literally writing word for word everything the lecturer is saying, building this illusion of learning in my mind. After I leave the lecture, I'm like, oh, I learned a lot today. There were 1-2 weeks go by, and I don't even know where the note paper's gone, and you know, I haven't memorized any of it. So the rereading can actually be applied also to your own notes. Then it comes down to, are people even writing notes properly in the most effective way? Because the most effective way to write notes is, again, active recall in questions, building a question bank, not writing everything your lecturer has.
So this makes sense. So this is why I asked the question,
right?
Because I feel like most people aren't, I would say the majority of people aren't looking at textbooks and just rereading the same paragraph time and time again.
Right.
They're making notes and taking pieces of the text into concise bullets or sentences where they can then process and so what you're saying now is, like, even if you do that process, right, and you're in a meeting, for example, or you're in a lecture and you're writing down everything into these bullet points, rereading those notes over and over again isn't going to be beneficial and isn't going to kind of ingrain it into your mind, right? But let's apply this practically into, like, the workplace. Say someone is making notes within a meeting. How do they make sure that they can recall that information at any point?
Okay, so firstly, how are you writing the notes? Is it bullet points? Bullet points. Let's say bullet points, right? So you're taking bullet points in this meeting. You're capturing the things that you think are the most important things to capture in that meeting. And then you need to go away and let's say you need to memorize these 10 things, right? That's the goal. Let's just say that's the goal. Well, firstly, you can put these directly into active recall. Your bullet points can be the active recall. Just rephrase them into questions, because there's a process that happens. If you read the research behind this, there's a process that happens that when you're asking yourself a question, it activates certain parts of your brain where it's preparing to try to retrieve that answer. And, you know, there's something that happens when you're questioned, right? As opposed to writing a statement. This is how you write a function, as opposed to how do you write a function? They're completely two different things, right? Although they're both associated with functions, writing functions. So my first piece of advice would be, turn these bullet points into questions. So if Jay's given a presentation and Saad is sitting there and Jay says, we need to do this by the end of year in order to retain 10% of our users, right? That's the statement Jay made. And then he shows the diagram. I can put that down as, what do we need to do by the end of year in order to retain 10% of our users? That's the question. Behind the flashcard can be the infographic that you show. You get it? Okay. So that's point number one. It's like, clearly identify how you're preparing yourself to store that piece of information, right? Take away the burden of trying to memorize it there and then. Put it down into a question, right? You're building your bank here. So I've now collected 10 of these, right? 10 questions I've built in that session that we had. Take those away and put them to the side. Then apply spaced repetition, which is, don't try to learn these things every day, religiously, 5 hours a day, you know, tiring yourself. Space out that repetition, because we know that practice makes perfect, right? That repeating something over and over again does hone a skill, and solidify a skill. But that's if you're spacing out the repetition. So for example, I might sit down for a memorization session with my 10 flashcards on a Monday, on a Tuesday, and on a Friday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? You're spacing it out.
Is there a time period that, like, recommended, like, in terms of what's ineffective? So, like, is it ineffective to kind of go through these and kind of practice active recall once a week compared to 3 times a week, for example? Like, is it like an optimum amount?
That I'm not too sure about. But spaced repetition is important, that there is, like, short times between the sessions, but not too short. Like, you don't want to do 10 sessions a day, right? It's good if you space them out over a few days, like, because you need to also remember that we're all different. We learn differently, right? Some people are visual. Some people can learn by way of listening and stuff like that. So you need to first identify how you learn as an individual. We're not the same, right? But generally speaking, through these techniques, that's what's advised, right? But there's many things, that tools and apps that actually do these things for you. You just don't know they're doing them. For example, like, there's an app called Quizlet where you can write flashcards on there, and then it builds this deck for you. So it's building this active recall deck for you. And then it will say, do you want to study your sessions today, right? And then you look at a flashcard, right? It will be a question. It'll be like, okay, whatever the question is. And then you flip it, you tap it, it flips the card, gives you the definition. Then it will give you a question and it will say, did you get it right? Did you get it wrong? Or does it need more work? Something like that. If you say you got it right, it will put it to the very back of the deck, and you won't see that same same flashcard for maybe another 3 days, spaced repetition, in combination with active recall. If you say, no, I got it wrong, it will put it in the deck, but in a position where you need to see it more frequently. You get it? Very smart. The algorithm is very smart. If you say, I somewhat know it, it will then position it in the deck in a place which is, okay, he doesn't need to see it that frequently, but it cannot be at the very back, right? There's another tool that does a similar thing called Anki, A-N-K-I, right? It's a paid app, but I highly recommend it for memorization specifically, if you're looking to memorize certain things. Coming back to what we were saying about this analogy we was giving about being in the workplace, then you take that deck away and you'll space it out using one of these tools, right? You can actually build your own template through Notion or Trello or something like that. And then you'll practice them spaced out, right? Using active recall. And you'll find that you will memorize those pieces of information much quicker than if you was to constantly go to Jay and say, Jay, what was those 10 points that you said again?
Yeah, so I'm trying to kind of apply what you're saying practically, right? So like, for instance, take my role, for example.
Right.
Like, I spread across like several businesses within the organization, which means that I need to kind of switch context kind of all the time and kind of understand the requirements of kind of each business. So every time I have a meeting with teams within those businesses, I guess a good way to kind of deeply understand kind of challenges or plans of those areas is to write concise notes and then apply active recall to kind of build that deep understanding of each of these kind of business areas, right? And I guess I could use like one of those apps to kind of help to facilitate that learning.
Yeah, it depends if you need to memorize those specific concepts or not. Like, you need to look at information and make the judgment on what is the purpose of me learning this piece of information. Because a lot of these processes that if you apply them to everything and you think I just need to learn everything, it will create, which is known as the illusion of learning. Like, you're practically lying to yourself that you've learned a piece of material, or you should learn a piece of material, and actually in actuality you shouldn't.
So how do you decide that then? How do you decide what you should and shouldn't?
By applying it to your situation, like you said. So for example, your manager will say to you, Jay, we want to move over to Figma, right? We need to move the whole team over to Figma by this date. And you now know you need to do that. But no one on the team knows Figma, right? So now you as a team need to build up this learning process where you need to learn how to use Figma by a particular date. Then you can start applying the tools and techniques that are most effective. So how could you apply, for example, active recall and spaced repetition around the application? This is a good exercise, right? Because up until now, we've been talking about just reading something, like a piece of text. So you need to learn something more practical. So an app, an application to carry out your job. And let's take Figma as the example. Okay, well, if I sit there every day and I just use Figma, you will learn it. Like, repetition is just, you know, it works. But if you want to solidify information, like really, you know, deep rooted in your memory, which has been proven, is space out your sessions. That's why we have that tomato, what do they call it? The Pomodoro, I think, something. I can't remember the exact term, where you study religiously for 25 minutes and then take a 5 minute break and then another 25 minutes. Yeah. There's many apps that do it, but there's a specific name for it. I forgot the name of it. But that's actually doing spaced repetition, right, in shorter bursts, shorter study sessions. So you can do that when you're learning a new tool. And this could mean that you either read the documentation of the tool by the team that created it. So, okay, what does this button mean? Okay, that's the slice tool, or this is the vector tool, or something like that, right? And your active recall could be exactly that. Just an image, a screenshot of that little button feature in Figma. What is this? And on the other side of your flashcard, or in your template, your Notion or something, you've got the definition there, right? You don't have to use physical flashcards. It's just something that I'm using as an example. So you can apply these techniques to physical things that you're trying to learn, right? But you need to be careful of overlearning also, because sometimes we put in so many hours and effort into learning something, and we create this issue of overlearning, and you'll find that I did so much research around this, research around that, and when I gave the presentation to my superiors, actually only 10% was effective. I didn't need all of that stuff, right? This is why it comes from experience as well, and it comes from using these techniques over a period of time, and you will find that you become more efficient in certain things. Like, I'm really efficient myself in active recall, but in spaced repetition I'm not that good, because I'm not patient enough. Like, I don't want to wait till Wednesday to have another session. I want to do it now. Like, I know I've got that issue with myself, right? So you have to gauge yourself and see what works for you. But there is one concept that I found really interesting, and I'm going to make a recommendation at the end of this episode for a particular course and a particular author as well around learning how to learn. But there's this concept of chunking. I find find the word quite funny, chunking. So C-H-U-N-K-I-N-G. Mm. And it's when you group specific informations around a wider topic in order to digest it better. Mm. So for example, I go back to, as an engineer, the JavaScript programming language, right? This is a language that is very vast. Mm. It's been used on the server, it's being used on the client, it's being used in machine learning, it's being used in animation, it's everywhere. Now, as a new user approaching this technology, is extremely intimidating because you don't know what you should learn, what's effective, what you need to know now, what you need to know later, you know, stuff like this. So you can use this technique of chunking. And chunking is where you can find, okay, what is my goal? My goal is to learn how to data fetch with JavaScript, how I can fetch data from an API. That's all I want to do right now, right? You look into the documentation and you find, oh, JavaScript's got a few different ways of data fetching, async away, Ajax, whatever. You can chunk those things together into like a box or a ball or a mental model that you've created. And then you can label it as, how do you data fetch in JavaScript? So now you're combining chunking with active recall, right? And then you can space it out with your repetition. And then you can even add even more to that by building up a ridiculous analogy or example that by association that works for you. When you find that you combine all of these techniques together, learning actually becomes quite fun. And that is the goal. That's the goal. That learning should be a fun thing to do. Because if it isn't, your brain is just going to shut off. And they always say, if you stop learning or you stop getting promoted at a particular role, that's a sign that you should leave, right? Forget the promotion part, but the learning part is very important because you should always be learning. And if a role that you're in is promoting that lifelong learning approach and always pushing people in the directions where they should be learning new things, that's a good sign because learning should always be occurring and it should be fun as well. So that's the concept of chunking. And I just want to mention the concept of learning things that are most necessary. For example, you've heard of React, right? The library that we use at work and that every front-end developer now is using. And there's this mistake that a lot of new developers make, and that is they jump into the library before the language. What I mean by that is React is a library that is built on top of the JavaScript programming language. I did this, and a lot of developers I know did it also, that you jump straight into learning the library before you know what the core language features are that are in the library itself, right? For example, React uses functions and arrays and array methods and all these features that come from JavaScript itself. But people think that it's part of React, right? But in reality, it's not. It's a JavaScript feature which is embedded into React, right? So what's the takeaway here? What am I trying to say? That you should learn first the thing that is most important, which is the language itself. And then you pick up the library after that makes writing the language easier. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Because then if you don't do that, you won't be able to tell what parts are core JavaScript and what parts are React features, right? Like what were built on top of JavaScript to be a React feature, right? And that example that I just gave comes down to learning the things, when you approach learning the things that are most important to you in that given moment. Because you see a lot in our industry is this anxiety that I must know everything and I must know it now because I can't keep up with X, Y, and Z people around me, right? There's too much to learn. But in reality, the most effective people in the tech industry and the most efficient are those who understand their learning and pick up what they need to along the way, right? And you hear it time and time again. I've spoken to some really senior devs and they say to me, I don't memorize anything. I say, why not? They say, because that's what documentation's there for. I don't learn how to memorize a particular syntax or a feature. I learn concepts. So I learn how these things work. And then later, if I need to know how to write that specific thing or to put it into practice, I refer back to the documentation. And that is a very strong argument. And I follow that process actually, because the reality is you can't memorize everything. That's why there's technical writers. That's why there's documentation. That's why there's video tutorials and so many other things, because it's about learning how to use things, the actual concept itself, right? And that's why having that lifelong learner approach is so imperative, because there's always going to be things throughout your day where, you know, you might get a business requirement and they'll say, we need to implement X, Y, and Z, and no one on the team knows how to do it. So you as a team, you go away and you learn a new piece of a feature or a concept in order for you to achieve what you need to for the business requirement, right? These are the most effective learning tools that have been proven. And if you do want to see this in depth, then I highly recommend a course. I don't recommend too many courses usually.
But this one's a good one.
But this one is a game changer.
Mm.
It's called Learning How to Learn. I think we could have guessed that one. By her name is Barbara Oakley. She's also a professor.
Was that Active Recall that you were using there? Remember her name?
No. Actually, well, maybe. I don't know. Barbara Oakley, Learning How to Learn. She's a professor and she's also an engineer, if I can remember. You can find it for free on Coursera. I think it's about 4 weeks long. I accelerated and just kind of went through it all kind of quickly because I was so interested in it. But the course is a game changer. And when I first discovered all of these learning techniques, I was like, why did we not learn this stuff in school? It's crazy. And all the things that I learned in school, highlight this, write this, and take notes in, buy notebooks that are this big. And, you know, these are ineffective ways according to the studies that have been done. And yeah, that's learning how to learn.
Interesting. I feel like I've learned loads. Like, I feel like I've been more of a student on this this episode. I feel like I've learned kind of loads in terms of like the concepts and kind of how the different techniques can kind of benefit us in different ways, kind of in our kind of work and kind of educational lives as well. So I think this is an extremely kind of beneficial kind of episode for anyone who's kind of out there who wants to continue to learn, no matter kind of what stage you are within your career. If you're learning kind of new tools, new concepts, new methods, all the way through to if you're just taking notes in meetings, you're trying to kind of understand different areas of the business and kind of how they work and how they can integrate together. You know, these techniques can be used kind of across the board. So this has been really kind of insightful, selfishly for me, but kind of hopefully for everyone who's listening as well.
I just want to also add one more point, and it's about the two modes that our brain have, right? And it's known as the focused mode and the diffused mode. And these two modes, if you think about it, you probably apply this every day. Have you ever heard the saying, you know, you should get up from your desk once every hour around and take a 5 minute walk and come back and then sit down? This is known as the diffused mode of your brain. So when you're learning something new, you tend to sit down, prepare yourself, you know, get up the material, get your highlighting pens out, make your desk all nice and clean and get ready for your learning session. This is known as the focused mode. This is when you're preparing your brain. Okay, we're going to sit down here for an hour and we're going to focus, right, on this material. But where your brain actually does most of the learning that your focus session has taken in is known as a diffused mode. And that's when you're doing the things that are not focused on the learning. For example, like you go out for a walk or you walk to the pantry and get yourself a coffee and then you're thinking about the thing that you just read. What your brain is doing is building up those neurons. The research is insane. It's building up the neurons to encapsulate those pieces of information that you've been doing throughout your focused mode. It's going to put these things in your subconscious and in your memory bank, and this is known as the diffused mode. So these are doing the activities which are not directly focused on the learning itself, but activities outside of that. It's really, really intriguing, and you should definitely take some time out to read the research and to look into these things, because you need to learn all the time, you know. And if you're as simple as learning how a specific recipe or something, it can be applied to anything. But yeah, that's my take on it, and hopefully we can put those studies in the show notes and the course as well that we recommended. Yeah, I would highly recommend watching the lectures by Barbara Oakley. She's like the pioneer when it comes to learning.
I'm definitely going to be doing that.
I think we can wrap this up on this session.
Amazing. And thanks, Saad. And, you know, just as, you know, we were wrapping things up, you came across with another gem, man. Just kind of dropped a gem.
I really like the subject.
It's a good subject, man.
I can talk for.
But the thing is that your passion, like, obviously kind of comes through, but also like you've experienced this like firsthand, right? So like you know how impactful, you know, kind of this learning method can be. And, you know, when you kind of apply it to your workplace or your work environment as well, like it can help you to excel. So it's definitely something I'm going to look into. Kind of Barbara Oakley is kind of on my mind. So I need to investigate her and kind of what she's been teaching. And hopefully I'll see the same impact that you have as well.
I did want to put one more thing in there, but I forgot.
Another gem.
Yeah, this was around the thing about doing the thing that's most important. So there's a beautiful saying in the Arabic language, which is al aham fal muhim, right? And that basically means that you do the most important thing first, and then the second most important thing. And this is a very beautiful concept, because sometimes we feel like we need to learn everything now and at the same time, and there's not enough time in our day. Or sometimes we look at others and we say, how do they know so much? much, right? Why does that person know so much? What are they doing that I'm not doing? And if you take some time out to maybe speak to them and understand what they do on a day-to-day basis or how they approach their learning, then you'll find that a lot of experienced people and a lot of people who deem to be successful from the outside, they follow this concept of doing the things that are most necessary first in order to achieve what you need to achieve in that given moment. So al-aham fal muhim is a beautiful saying in the Arabic language, and it's to do what is most important first and then those things that are important thereafter. So I just wanted to plug that in because it's a very profound saying.
Beautiful, man.
So we'll end it there. And if you've got any questions around the concepts that were mentioned today or the studies or anything like that, just leave us a message and we'll be more than happy to accommodate and to answer those to the best of our ability. Yeah, thank you, Jay, for listening, because I know I did a lot of talking in this episode. And this has been a Life in Tech podcast. We'll see you on the next one.
Look forward to it. Take care.